We're going this morning to consider again another of one of God's incommunicable attributes. That is to say, something of God's character that is reserved or exclusive to God and to God alone. We have thought already about God's omnipotence. That is, that God is all-powerful. God is almighty. And we have considered as well God's omniscience. That is, that God is all-knowing. He knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows all things actual and all things possible. He knows all things past, present, and future. He knows every detail concerning life and concerning the universe and concerning eternity. And this morning we're thinking about God's omnipresence. God is an omnipresent God. And we have thought about those different words, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and the word omni means all or every. And then we think this morning of this word omnipresent. And the word present means here. Whenever you were in school, you might recall the teacher every morning doing the roll call. And he'd have gone through the names of everybody in the class. And then he'd have got to my name, Higginson, present or here. And most of the time I wished I wasn't present or wasn't there, but that's what it means. It meant present, I'm here. And God is everywhere present. God is everywhere here. God is the omnipresent God. The word present also means close to or near. And God is close to each and every one of us. God is near to each and every one of us. So the word omnipresent means God is everywhere present, or God is everywhere here, or God is near and next or close to each and every one of us. He is the universally present God. St. Augustine said, God is an infinite circle whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere. We can't even begin to try to imagine that or work that out. And there are many things that we just can't, in these finite minds of ours, comprehend. The finite cannot comprehend the infinite. The temporal cannot comprehend the eternal. And whenever we think of the omnipresence of God, it is one of the most solemn and heart-searching of all truths in Scripture. As we are learning more and more about the doctrines of God or the attributes of God, these things ought not just to challenge our intellect, but they ought to stir up our souls and challenge the way we pray and the way we live before God and amongst men, and also the way we worship. And we ought therefore to worship the Lord with reverence and with godly fear, and with humility, and with earnestness, and with honesty. I want to say just a few very simple things this morning about the omnipresence of God. First of all, the reality of God's omnipresence. There are many verses in Scripture that clearly teach us that God is all present, that God is literally everywhere. And these texts of Scripture are beyond misunderstanding. There are verses of Scripture that people try to twist and manipulate and take out of context. And that's why, as God's people, we are called upon to rightly divide the word of truth, to compare spiritual with spiritual, to search the Scriptures and to compare and contrast the word of God. But whenever it comes to so many aspects of God's character, there are verses of Scripture that cannot really be misunderstood. And you would have to try very hard to misunderstand them. And so it is whenever it comes to the omnipresence of God. For example, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 39. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, or Jehovah, He is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, and there is none else. And so God dwells in the heavens, But he's not confined to the third heaven or the atmospheric heavens. He's also Lord or God in the earth beneath. And that clearly teaches us that God is an omnipresent God. And then the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, just to give another verse that proves this truth and makes it a reality. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. Now, we know today that God is a spirit. God doesn't have real, literal, physical eyes, but he is an all-seeing and an all-knowing God. And sometimes the Spirit of God in the Scriptures uses human terminology to describe a spiritual and eternal God. And that's just to help us to understand it. Whenever the Bible speaks about the eyes of the Lord, it's teaching us that God sees all things. When the Bible speaks about the mind of God, it's showing us that God knows all things. When the Bible speaks about the ears of God, it's teaching us that God hears all things. Or when it speaks about the hand of the Lord, it's speaking about God's power or God's work. Or the feet of God, it's teaching us that God is moving and working and active in this present world. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. Then the book of Jeremiah 23 and verse number 24. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? So it's not just that God is present somewhere in heaven or God is present somewhere in the earth. It's the fact that God fills the heavens and God fills eternity and God fills the earth. And then the words that we read a little bit earlier in the book of Psalms. And David says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I was to ascend up into heaven and go to the farthest reaches of space and the universe, or even into the third heaven, as Paul did, he says, you're there. Or if I was to descend into the very lowest parts of the earth, into the depths of the grave, into hell itself, behold, thou art there. So God is present in every point of space with his whole being. He fills every part of his creation. Now the universe itself is not God, but God fills the universe. Some people think because God is everywhere present that that means everywhere and everything is God. God is not the universe, but God fills the universe. Whenever Solomon built his temple and had just finished the construction of it, he said in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 27, but will God indeed dwell in the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded. And the presence of God did fill the house. But the presence of God fills all in all. And they were wonderfully conscious that something of God's presence and power and glory was revealed to them in the temple at that particular time. And then in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, whenever the Apostle Paul himself arrived in Athens and stood in Mars Hill in the city of Athens there in Greece, he saw an altar and it said on the altar, to the unknown God. And they were worshipping something. But God, as far as they were concerned, was not known and they couldn't know him or understand him. And that's how many people worship God today. They worship God in vain. They worship a God that they do not really know. They worship God in ignorance. And therefore, Paul begins to explain to the people of Athens about God's creation and the fact that God is in control. And he makes mention of something of God's character and God's commandments and so on and so forth. And in verse number 27, he says, God is not far from every one of us. You might be the most godless wretch on the face of the earth, but God is still only a prayer away. God is not far from each and every one of us. He says, in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of our own poets have said, for we are also of his offspring. And so God is near to us this morning. We can be sure this morning in this service that God is here. God fills heaven and earth. And so if God is a spirit, and he is, and if God is infinite, and he is, there is no limit at all to his presence in the world, in the universe. God is here today, nearer than hands or feet. God is our environment, as the sea is to a fish. God the Father is everywhere present. And then the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 8:20, where two or three are met together in my name, there am I in the midst. And those believers that are meeting today in the land of Nepal with all of their loss and heartache, God is with them. Christ is there. And as we meet together here this morning in Coleraine, Christ is here. And wherever there's a group of people met together in the Savior's name, he says, there am I in the midst. How could he say it? Because he is everywhere present. And he makes his presence real and known and felt whenever people meet together in his name. And whenever he sent his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel, he says, lo, I am with you unto the end of the world. Jesus Christ is an omnipresent Savior. And then the Spirit of God is omnipresent as well, because the psalmist said in these verses, whither shall I flee from thy Spirit? So God, in the persons of his Trinity, is an everywhere present God. From every point on earth, we are equally near to God and to the infinite. So the reality of God's omnipresence. But what about the relevance of God's omnipresent? Why is this a relevant doctrine for us today? Well, all of the attributes of God that we can ever consider are relevant to us. If we consider the fact that God is holy, that should affect us, because God says, be ye holy, for I the Lord thy God am holy. If we consider God's glory, that should affect us, because we are to live to the glory of God. If we think about God's omniscience, that God knows all things, that should radically alter the way that we live. If we understand that God is merciful, or God is just, or God is righteous, or God is love, all of these doctrines and truths and realities ought to be relevant in our lives and change the way we live. And I would submit to you, and also my own heart this morning, if they are not changing us, we haven't rightly grasped them at all. But why is the omnipresence of God relevant for us today? Well, there's two ways of looking at it. We could look at it negatively, and then we could look at it positively. If we believe and know and understand that God is an omnipresent God, and he's everywhere present from our waking hour to our sleep, to our workplace, our school, our church services, that God is present, there are certain things that we should be very reluctant to do. You know, if people are watching us, there's certain things we're very reluctant to do. I've been accused of singing in the shower. Quite happy to do that. Just seems to you to turn the shower and start to sing. But I certainly wouldn't stand and sing on my own in a service like this morning, because people are watching. And then some people are quite happy to sit in the house in their pajamas. And then if the doorbell rings, off they go to get changed. I would be the same. Happy to wear my pajamas, but whenever other people are about, I wouldn't like to be sitting around dressed like that. I know today that people go to Asda and Sainsbury's and Tesco's and they wear their pajamas morning, noon, and night. But I wouldn't like to do that. And usually if people are watching us, we behave differently. And it seems as well that people usually, or at least they used to, they usually prefer to sin whenever nobody else is watching. There's a certain shame in it. But sadly, we're living in days where people are more willing now to sin openly than ever before, and we refuse to blush now about sin. And whenever we read in the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 8, we read about a secret room that Ezekiel discovered in the temple of God in chapter 8, and Ezekiel opened this door and he saw that the priests there in the temple, there was a hole in the wall, and behind the hole there was a wall, and in the wall there was a door. And whenever he opened this door, he saw that the priests in Israel were committing sin. And they had got this little secret room in God's temple, and all around the walls of that room there were images to creeping things and beasts and all sorts of different things, and there were women that were worshipping false gods, and the very priests had their backs turned toward the altar and faced towards the sun, and they said to themselves, "The Lord seeth us not, for the Lord hath forsaken the earth," and they forgot that God is everywhere present. God is everywhere present. And if we could understand that and know that, I believe it would change the very way that we live. Consider that. Whenever we sin, nobody might see it, but God is omnipresent. And it's exactly the same sinning in the secret place as far as God is concerned, as if we were able to ascend into the very throne room of grace and come before the presence of Almighty God and see God sitting upon his throne and the angels round about the throne, and we're in a place of absolute holiness, and commit exactly the same sin there in the presence of Almighty God, because God is everywhere present whenever we commit sin. And that ought to challenge us, and that ought to change us. God is there whenever we sin. We can't hide from him. Achan tried to hide his sin from God, but God was there whenever Achan sinned, and whenever God tried to cover it up. But then you can think of the omnipresence of God positively. What does it mean for the Christian? What does it mean for the child of God who is seeking to walk with God and follow the Lord whenever they face trial and difficulty? Well, the omnipresence of God, rightly understood, gives us great comfort. The Bible says in Psalm 34:18 that the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. And maybe today your heart is heavy. Maybe today your heart is broken for a multiplicity, perhaps, of different reasons. God is near to those that are of a broken heart. And understand that God is near you. Reach out to him. Call upon him. And tell him all about your burdens, because not only is the Lord near for our comfort, but the Lord is near as well for our communion. It says in Psalm 145:18, the Lord is nigh unto all that call upon him, unto all that call upon him in truth. Now, we mightn't always feel as if God is with us, but feelings come and feelings go. Sometimes we can be very conscious of God's nearness. He draws near and we're aware of that. And there are other times whenever it seems that heaven is brass above us, but God assures us if we call upon him, he's near, he's there, he sees, he understands, he knows, he's listening, he's with us. So God is near to comfort, God is near for communion, God is near to care for us. Hebrews 13:5, be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He cares for us. Paul says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be careful for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is our peace. And whenever God gives us his peace, he doesn't give it independently of himself, but he himself shows us that he's there. And he himself is our peace. And then the Lord is also near to counsel us and to guide us. A verse of scripture that's been a real encouragement to me is Isaiah 58:11. The Lord shall guide thee continually. How can he do that? Because as he was with the children of Israel day and night with the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, so the Lord is with us continually. And then the Lord is there to shelter us and to cover us. Psalm 139, it said there in verse 13, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. You have protected me there in my mother's womb. And the Lord promises to shelter us, to overshadow us, to cover us, as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings. We can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We can walk in his presence continually. And so while it is good And while it is necessary for us to come to God's house to worship God collectively and together, we can enjoy unbroken fellowship and communion with God in the workplace, in the home, in the university, in the school, in the tech, in our church services, in our beds at night, out walking the streets. We can be constantly, forever in fellowship with Almighty God. Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. And Paul says, as ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. It's one of the most relevant truths that we could discover. Then there's the realization of God's omnipresence. Now, while God is everywhere present, it has to be said that God is not of necessity present in the same way everywhere. Sometimes he more or less manifests his presence in certain places. And there are certain places where the Lord is especially present or the Lord is especially near. For example, if you're not a Christian, there is a sense in which God is with you. He's around you. He's near. He sees. He's everywhere present. You can't hide from him. But whenever you become a Christian, the presence of God becomes so much more real in your life, and you're aware of God's presence as never before. Whenever Solomon built the temple, whenever Moses constructed the tabernacle, the Shekinah glory would fill the holy place. And that was a very real manifestation of God's presence. So the people around about were aware God is here. And so it was in the temple, and so it was in times of great blessing in the church of Jesus Christ. There are times whenever he makes his presence felt, he makes his presence known, we become aware of God's presence. You say, well, what about the sin in this world? We live in a sinful world. Does God dwell amongst sinners? And can God be found in sinful places? And is God found in sinful nations and sinful countries? Surely that would defile the presence of God. Well, as the sun shines upon the just and the unjust, and the rays of the sun shine upon the sea and upon the mountains and upon the pure rivulets that run down the side of the hills, even so the rays of the sun, they shine upon refuge and rubbish dumps, but the rays of the sun are never defiled. And God is never defiled by condescending to be present in a sin-cursed earth. But you say, well, how can I realize God's presence individually? By coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Can I ask you this morning, what do you know of the presence of God in your life? Is God real to you? Can you say that God is always near me, hearing what I say? Now that's true, but are you conscious of that? Are you conscious of God being with you? Can you say that Christ is in me and that's the hope of glory? Can you say that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Henry Scougal wrote that great book that so affected the life of George Whitefield and John Wesley and Charles Wesley. And the title of the book was quite simply, The Life of God in the Soul of Man. Is that your experience today? Do you have the presence of God with you? Can you say, great is thy faithfulness, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide? Are you growing in grace? Are you pressing deeper into the presence of God in your life? Are you drawing near to God in prayer? Are you finding God to be true in His Word? Are you discovering God more and more and more? You see, if you're not, and even if you're a Christian, that might not be your case, because the Bible says that sin can grieve the Spirit of God. And sin can harden even the heart of a Christian. The Bible says your heart can become hard through the deceitfulness of sin. Samson lost out in the presence of God in his life because of sin. What do you know of God's presence in your life individually? And then what do we know of God's presence ecclesiastically? As a church, we should be aware and conscious of the presence of God. We can very easily say all the right things and pray the right things. Lord, we come into your presence. And Lord, you're here and you've promised to be here. Well, God is everywhere. Of course God's here. But are we conscious of it? Do we experience the presence of God? Do we feel the warmth of His presence and nearness? And I use the word feeling in that sense of being aware that God is with us and aware that God is here. Are we conscious of it? Sometimes I wonder, are we really conscious of God's presence? Now, it's important that whenever we come to God's house, and it's right that whenever we come to God's house, that we have fellowship together, that we can extend greetings the one to the other, that we can bear one another's burdens and we can talk together. But I sometimes wonder, where is that sense of reverence whenever we come to the house of God? The sense that we're coming into the presence to worship one who is so high and so lofty and so holy. And sometimes whenever we come to a prayer meeting, it seems that the only time that so many Christians have nothing to say is if you can get them into a prayer meeting. We can talk about everything under the sun. We can talk right up until the prayer time starts. And as soon as the prayer time ends, we've so much to say and talk about. But whenever the prayer time's actually on, it seems that we've nothing to say. And I wonder, is that because both before and after the prayer time and during the prayer time that we're not conscious of the presence of God? Ecclesiastically, within the church, folks, we need to have this. We need to come to God's house and be aware that God is here. And we need to pray for that and pray for the Spirit of God to make the presence of God real and known to each and every one of us. Because if we had that, as it was said of Christ in His day, it was noised abroad that He was in the house. And the presence and power of God was there present to heal. And then what do we know of the presence of God nationally? What is revival? But God making His presence known to a nation or to a community. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, listen to these words, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. And Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 3 says, God came. Revival is whenever God comes in an unusual way. Now, God is everywhere present, but whenever revival happens, it's as if the presence of God is something that is so real and so vivid and something that's absolutely inescapable, and God makes that awareness known. It's like that veil that separates time from eternity has been drawn aside, and the presence of God fills a place. Duncan Campbell said, revival is a community saturated with the presence of God. You read the accounts of the revivals on the Isle of Lewis, and people say God was everywhere. God was in the church services. God was in the prayer meetings. God was in people's homes after the meetings were over. God was in meadow and in moorland. As men were cutting turf, God was there. As people were weaving linen and thread and tweed in the looms, God was there. And there was just this sense of God in a community. John Livingstone, the great Scottish revival preacher, said, in revival, God is everywhere. That's why Isaiah prayed, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down. In this very town in 1859, as it was true in so many different places and parts of our province, God's presence was so real. The town hall, whenever it was about to be opened, such was the sense of God's presence that there was no dance, there was no formal function to open the town hall, but there was a prayer meeting. The Irish Society School, just across there from Tesco's, God broke into the school. And children began to come under conviction. And teachers stopped the meetings, and the children went outside and sought the Lord. And others went home, and they stopped class early so that young people could get right with God. And there was no preaching. And there were no prayer meetings, not in the schools anyway. But such was the presence of God in the community that it was inescapable. Homes and families and churches were moved by the presence of God. Folks, what do we know of this? Have we ever realized this? And then the presence of God eternally. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And that's the dwelling place of God, the place where God's presence is most real and most manifest and most revealed, and people often talk about going to be with the Lord. But a person never goes to be with the Lord unless they've been with the Lord in this earth to begin with. They're just being ushered into the immediate presence of God's throne and God's dwelling place, absent from the body, present with the Lord. In thy presence there is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Can I ask you, are you going to be with the Lord? Will you one day be in God's immediate presence, worshiping him in the spirit of grace and of holiness? So lastly, and in conclusion, we've thought about the reality of God's presence, the relevance of God's presence, the realization of God's presence, but what's our response this morning to the omnipresence of God? As we said earlier, we might not always feel his nearness, but he's always there. How do you react to this truth? Those of you who are maybe in the meeting this morning and you're not saved, God is everywhere present and you can't hide from him. And God is ultimately unavoidable. And someday, by fair means or foul, willingly or under duress, you're going to have to face up to this reality that God is everywhere present. And you're going to be exposed one day to the presence of God. And you can't hide from God. You can't escape from God. You can't win fighting against God. And you're going to have to get right with God and come to faith in Jesus Christ. And then for the Christian, what's your response to God's presence? He's ever with you. Does that not want to make us worship him and witness for him and walk with him and work for him? Does it not give us a hunger and a thirst to know more of this presence and this awareness of God in our lives, in our homes, in her church, and in her community? I wonder this morning, what has God been saying to us? I believe if God speaks, it's impossible to remain neutral. And maybe God has been checking us. Maybe God has been comforting us. Maybe God has been challenging us about where we stand in the presence of this omnipresent God. We'll have a prayer together. Let's seek the Lord, and then we'll sing our closing hymn. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that thou wilt write the truth of thy word upon our hearts. We pray, O God, that thou wilt fill our souls and our lives and our homes and our churches, O God, and our nation again with a real sense of thy presence. Lord, we can't hide from thee. O God, make us to be aware. Take the scales from off our eyes. Open our hearts and unstop our ears. And may we be very aware that we're living in the presence of God. And Lord, we pray that we might experience that reality more and more and more. Continue with us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 408 is our closing hymn. 408, and if you are not staying for the Lord's table, we'll ask you to leave during this hymn. I'll go to the door. But those who are remaining can stand throughout the course of this hymn. 408, nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart, draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. 408, standing as we sing.